Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, there's a lot of talk today because of a number of things that are taking place in our society. There's a lot of talk about discouragement, that discouragement is a real issue that people are facing, especially during these difficult times in which we live. I think, unfortunately, as we think about this, we need to understand that the discouragement that we're facing is, if it's tied to the difficulty of the times, I'm afraid that it appears that times are only going to get more difficult all around us. I think we're just beginning to see some of the birth pangs of what is taking place and so forth in our world today. I was thinking about that subject about discouragement and actually spoke about it in the evening service that we hold over at Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility every Sunday night. And I was thinking about discouragement, its causes, consequences, and cure. And I was looking specifically at what's said in Nehemiah chapter 4, to be even more specific. It says this in that passage. Let me read it to you. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, that he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they receive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up on it, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them as a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sins be blotted out. For behold, before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, and that then they were very wroth, and they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause them to cease the work." And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, "From all places from which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked, and I rose up, and I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, 'Be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses.' And it came to pass that when the enemy heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the harbergons, and the rulers were behind them all the houses of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they which bear burdens, and those that laded, every one with one of his hands he wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. for the builders, everyone had a sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one of his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be on guard to us, and labor on in the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. So there's the situation that's taking place in Nehemiah chapter 4. And part of what I read was what was being said by the enemy. And then it switched to what Nehemiah was saying. Some of his prayer is recorded there as he prays unto God. And then some of his statements that were made unto the people as well. When we look at this passage, obviously it's one in which the people of God, because of the times that they were going through and the difficulty of the work, they were being discouraged. Nehemiah and the people of God were building the walls of Jerusalem. Sanballat and others were angry with them, and they tried to stop the work, and they determined to attack the people suddenly and slay them, and so that they would put an end to what they were doing. So the people of God had not only to build the wall of Jerusalem, but they also had to watch against the enemies at the same time. Their case is our case. We have to work for Christ, and I hope that all of us that love him are trying to do what we can to build up his kingdom. But we also need to watch against deadly foes as well. If they can destroy us, of course, they will also destroy the work that we are doing as well. And so Nehemiah had been warned, we've read of in this passage of Scripture, that there was this plan made up for them to come upon the city, that the enemies to come. And the Jews who lived nearby, the Samaritans, they had overheard them talking about what they had intended to do. And so they came and they told Nehemiah of what the adversaries were plotting against them. Well, a very similar case with us. We also have been warned. There's a great and a terrible evil power which is seeking our destruction. And the apostle instructs us not to be ignorant of his devices. We know what he's about and what he's trying to do, and so that's been revealed to us in the Word of God. Now, here is one of the greatest devices that is used by the devil is discouragement. Discouragement of heart is one of the most successful tools that is used against the church then and now. It's a weapon in the devil's arsenal that seems never to be out of use. If the devil can deprive the people of God of confidence in God, if the devil can get the believer to doubt the certainty of the outcome of the work of God, then he will have achieved a great victory over the people of God. Now let's look at a couple of the causes of discouragement. And let's just use what we find here right in the text. Right from the text, there's a number of things that are mentioned that we can see in those things that how they relate to us today as well. First of all, there was opposition, right? There was fighting and conspiring and hindering of the work that was taking place. And they were doing this out of contempt. They considered the Jews and what they believed and who they were as a people to be inferior at best and absolutely useless at worst. And thus the people here that were working, the people of God, they were being dishonored, they were being disgraced, and they were being disrespected by the enemies. And not only do they disagree with Nehemiah, but they are actively involved in trying to stop what he is doing. They conspire against him. It has the idea they're meeting secretly to stop the work. The word conspired is it's actually a Latin word, but it means with breath, conspire. And so they are talking about them, and they are planning secretly to bring them down. Well, there's something that we can relate to, right? Somebody talking about us, maybe talking behind our back, someone who is doesn't like particularly the way that we have gone about to do something, or for some reason they have made us the object of their contempt, and they're whispering behind our back and saying these things, conspiring with others in order to bring us down. I don't know if you ever saw that Miracle Ear commercial, but in that Miracle Ear commercial, you know, it says, you can hear what other people are saying, and then it goes to what the other people are saying. And in this case, it's a person is laying like on a beach tower on a beach, and others are jogging by, and they're listening in then on the conversation of what's being said, because they can hear so well with the Miracle Ear, right? And they say, oh, don't they look in just really good shape? And, you know, they look really healthy. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's what they're saying as they're going by. You may not want to hear everything that everybody else is saying, you know, on the sidelines, you know, as you're going through life. But here where it's recorded in the Word of God what some of the things were that we're saying. And this is the second thing that is part of the discouragement. It's the mocking that was taking place. There was not only opposition, but mocking. They considered all that had already been accomplished by them to be insignificant, right? So they looked at what the work they had already done. They said, oh, look at this work. And one of them even said, you know, all your work that is done is little or nothing to meet your objective. In fact, they said, if a fox were to jump on the wall, it would cause that wall to be knocked over. Now, remember, they're building a wall to stand up against enemies that are going to come against them, enemies that have things like battering rams and, you know, all these weapons of attack that come against the city. And so they mock it and they say, oh, if even a fox, you know, the average weight of a fox is 11 pounds. So I've got foxes out on my property. I've seen foxes at different times and so forth. Very small. It's hard when you first see the fox. At first, if you don't get a good look at them, they appear to be a cat. They're about the size of a cat, you know, so about 11 pounds. And they were saying, something 11 pounds were to jump on this wall, it would knock it down. Well, isn't that what happens so often in the work that we're doing? People say, your work is insignificant. You know, your work really doesn't amount to very much. You know, it's not going to be able to do what you want it to do. It's going to be a complete and utter failure. And that becomes a source, along with the opposition, it becomes a source of discouragement against us. And here's another point of discouragement, not just from the outside, but just from the nature of the work itself. The work was only partially complete. In verse 6, it said this, so we built the wall, and the wall was joined together to the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. So in the beginning, you know, the people had a mind to work. You know, we can do this. And so they begin to build and they're all working together. But it got to a very significant point. And here's the significant point. The work was half done. It gets to the halfway mark. And at that halfway mark, something happens, right? People look at the work and they say, wait a second. All the effort that we put in thus far has only got us halfway. That means that we'll have to expend at least the same amount of energy in order to be able to finish the work. And so it becomes this point that people take an assessment and they begin to evaluate, is it really worth the effort? We know now what the effort is. We know how much effort is going to be taken in order to finish the work. So on top of that, the people were tired. It says in verse 10, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. And people were saying this, listen, I just don't know if I can physically do this, if I can possibly keep up anymore. We see now how much work needs to be done. We know it's about the same amount that it, what we have already expended because we're halfway through the work. And my strength is gone. I'm tired. I just don't want to do this. And so that adds to the discouragement as well. Here's another one in verse 10. I mean, it just keeps piling up here, right? But verse 10 is one of my favorites. It says, and there was much rubbish. So they look around and they go, just look at all this trash that is laying around here. You know, there's much rubbish. So it made it hard to see, you know, the what had already been accomplished and to see beyond the rubbish. I remember I bought a fixer-upper, a number of them over the years, but one of the fixer-uppers I bought, I could tell that the structure was good. The basic elements were there. You know, it was a brick house. It was on a cul-de-sac. It had natural gas coming to it. It had other features, you know, that were appealing to me and so forth. It was a tri-level, which I wanted. It was on about an acre of land in the city. And so all of these things were appealing, but the house was in rough shape. So I took my mother through the house. She happened to be visiting. I said, hey, I want to show you the house we've just bought, and we're going to fix it up. And she walked through the house, and, you know, she doesn't know much of anything about, you know, fixer-uppers or flipping houses or anything like that. So she walked through, and she said, Kevin, can't you find something else? There was much rubbish. You know, the house, the cosmetic stuff was all in disarray. And so she couldn't look beyond that to see the structure that was there. And we did very well on that house, by the way, after having spent a lot of energy on it. We knew we could do the cosmetic work. We did the cosmetic work and were able to sell the house at a good profit afterwards. And so you can do this, but you know, it's hard work. And there was much rubbish, and we had to see beyond it. So the final thing here was the fear of the enemy, right? The whispers had come back. The Jews were coming and saying, they went to him 10 times. 10 times they came to him and said, hey, let me remind you of what we heard. They're going to come at you, and they're going to come at you from all different angles. You're not going to be able to defend against them, right? So the people started thinking, maybe they're right. Maybe they're more powerful than we are. If they're coming from all these different directions, how are we going to defend against it? And so they began to think maybe we're not going to be able to complete the work. So discouragement is looking and listening to the opposition rather than looking and listening to the Lord. That's basically what discouragement is. Notice the very first volleys of arrows from the enemy, they had already hit their mark, right? The focus is off of God. There's no talk of God in this passage other than what Nehemiah prays. But to the people, their focus is completely off of the Lord who called them to do this work. Their focus is off of the vision. Their focus is off of the work. I mean, in the way that God had told them to look at the work. And the focus is now on all of the opposition. Judah said, we're tired and the work is great for us. The adversary said, we will slay them and cause them to seek in the work. The Jews said 10 times, you will not be able to defend. But Nehemiah said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. This is where we must turn our attention if we want to cease to hear the words of man and turn our attention upon the things of God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so the consequence of this discouragement was it was causing the people to lose heart. It was causing them to not have a mind to work and to say, what use is it to do any of these things? And so this discouragement is contagious. It's contagious among the people of God. It must be nipped in the bud and nipped early because it'll spread throughout a church. Remember the spies came back, and the spies, some of them, most of them came back, and they The scripture says they discouraged the heart of the people with their report. What was their report? Their report was all about the opposition that they would face. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. There's giants in the land. Well, let me ask you something. How do those giants compare to Almighty God? If we are like grasshoppers in their sights, they are like ants in the sights of the Almighty, right? So the perspective is very important. Romans 14 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another." This is a major point among the people of God to edify and build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. The cure for it was this. First of all, they prayed. Number one, they prayed for divine protection. They didn't talk about prayer. They didn't do conferences on prayer. They didn't think about prayer. They prayed. They prayed in their prayer. And there's a great word that is here. It says, nevertheless, in verse 9 of this text, nevertheless, Sanballat threatens and Tobiah mocks, but nevertheless, the people of God pray. Men may attack our work. Men may mock our faith. But still, or even so, or notwithstanding, or better yet, nevertheless, we will pray. They prayed first before they did anything else. They set a watch and they prayed. Before they set a watch, they prayed. I should say that. But we see here they did other things after they prayed. But they prayed first and foremost. And that's what we need to do as well. They prayed in faith. They said, nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God. Those two little words, our God. In the New Testament, it's called our Father who art in heaven. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "The door of prayer seems to turn on those two golden hinges, those two words, our Father, that we find in the scripture." And so they prayed to him, and they prayed, and they asked him as to what they should do. And then they set a watch. They put feet to their prayers. Prayer alone was not sufficient to stop the advances of the enemy. There were other things that they should do, and so they did those things as well. So there's a certain message here, I think, for the church, right? Once the enemy's tactics have been exposed, we should set a watch against him. We are prone to discouragement when we listen to others as they downgrade the work. We must set a guard against it and not listen to those types of things, but rather listen to the word of the Lord that has come unto us. That's where we started, right? The word of the Lord came unto us saying. That's what we need to listen to. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.